Yeah, y'all already know what it is, man. It's 8 o'clock. We having them conversations on the rocks. And I don't know where y'all be at, but it's not underneath ours because we talk about it right here on Remix Radio. 8 o'clock Monday night. Currently right now, waiting for my calls to get right back in here and waiting for our guests to come in there. But I definitely got a legend around here. My man JB, you know what I'm saying? Helping us out, man, on the boards. We definitely appreciate you, brother, anytime, any day when you come through. We still going to wait. And here she come, glowing in the dark. Ladies and gentlemen, the first lady. The first lady. She's in the building. She's in the building.
Yes.
Go ahead and introduce yourself. Let them know what you're doing out here.
Miss Tish, I'm back with you and back with a new candle.
Okay. Okay. What flavor we got now?
We got amazing.
Amazing.
Grace.
Oh, I got that. That's the one I gave my mom.
We lighting this one.
That. Yeah, she said she liked that. Okay. All right. We going to set the mood in.
Show the cameras.
Oh, most definitely. Made more sense. Yeah, don't forget about that. Made more sense, man. So we're going to light this one up because this is amazing.
Maybe you should. Yeah, yeah. Let's go. So while you're lighting it, how was your weekend?
Yeah, let me tell y'all something. It was another rough one, okay? I don't know why this keeps happening to me. I'ma just start it off and say Friday wrecked the work van. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, did that one, right? Coming off
your
this Occoquan. Hell no,
okay, okay.
Not me. Just not me, you know what I'm saying? They probably gonna try to blame me before, but it wasn't my fault. But nah. Was in there. Whatever, came in off this Occoquan exit, the lady, I went around her, went into the curve, it was raining, you know, and mm-hmm. then it just kind of just like slid, and it kept sliding right there on the exit with a bunch of cars behind me, nobody hit me, but I did have a new guy that started, and he was riding with me for the first time, so, you know, want to just send a shout out to him, he's a real nigga, you know what I'm saying?
He okay. made it through.
Yeah, he made it through okay. on his first day with me and everything like that. And we homies now. You know what I'm saying? We have an understanding. He real.
Yeah, y'all yeah. are like fam now.
Yeah, we definitely like family now. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And just enjoyed the rest of the 4th of July. I went to a pool party, so that's about it. But, yeah.
Okay, you know. Okay. I mean, the good thing is you still have your job, you know? Everything is still copacetic there, right?
I mean, you know, they only gave me one job that day. I don't know if it's because they felt like I was maybe shook up. A little bit of something.
Uh-huh.
Or, you know what I'm saying? He know damn well. He know damn well. Tax, you know damn well. My man that does the shirts. And
calling.
He know he get calling.
You bothering while we taping?
He knew better than that. Boy. But yeah. Just enjoyed the 4th of July and just chilled out. But yeah, you know. I got a new friend now. Hopefully I still got a job. You know. Like
okay.
everything should be good. Yeah, I mean,
sounds amazing. Well, my weekend was good, real good.
Yeah, oh, I know the hell.
Silent, because Terrence, he want a shout out. That's what he want.
Hi, Terrence. Punch back, Terrence. I'm doing the show. Terrence.
Yeah, Terrence. So the weekend was cool. We chilled.
Okay,
yeah,
okay.
It was nice weekend. Weather was great.
Did you cook out?
I went to cookouts. Yes. I did not cook out, no.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
So. Did you bring a nigga a plate back?
Look, I like didn't even bring me a plate back.
Baby girl.
You know.
Everything is not about Tish all the time. This is not the Tish show all the time. Talk about I ain't bring me one back. What about us? We here? You knew you was going to see us.
You right.
8 o'clock, Monday
right.
night.
Next week.
Don't play because you
yeah,
know.
We're gonna have
you're
to
not even going to be here. That was a good one. I like how you just
you
tried to do that.
Fast.
Yeah. I said, wait a minute. I was just about to try. I said, she ain't gonna be here. That's cool.
You caught on real fast.
That's cool.
Yes, Lord. So we getting into this pregame.
Yeah, let's get into this pregame.
Yes. Shots up. Cheers.
And I'm gonna let you take this one on.
Yeah, so for the pregame today, we're highlighting a business. So we have Andrea Martin and her travel business. At the end of the show, we'll be giving you all of the handles to her business so that you can make sure that you Book with Andrea. She's awesome. She's booked a couple trips for a couple people in this room. So, you know, she's very professional. Everything's excellent. She makes sure that you get to where you need to be. And everything is set up and waiting for you. So we're going to circle back and give all the handles for Andrea at the end of the show.
Okay. I like that.
But coming in, I guess I get to introduce, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So today we have a very, very special guest on the show. We have this lovely mocha chocolate, beautiful woman. I mean, when I tell you that she is so smart and, you know, right under amazing for me. Like, I'm amazing and she's here. So all I gotta say is, like, she's awesome. What she's doing right now, she started a dating app. So it has been through transitions and I love the growth of it. And right now she's focusing on Black women finding love. So we're gonna bring her on. Her name is Nasa Shelley, and then she's gonna give us all the info. But she's also my little sister, so this is a special show for me.
Okay.
Hi, Nasa.
Hi, Letitia.
How you doing, Shawty? It's good to see you. You know what I'm saying? Probably should have sat there anyway, because you already got a boyfriend. I'm single, so I should be closer to you. And then you that mocha chocolate.
Catch the car.
All that, you know what I'm saying? The whole vibe right there. So I should have. We'll talk about it later, because Letitia, you know.
We have time.
We got time.
I'll introduce y'all formally later.
Okay, I like that. Okay.
So how's it going, Miss Nasa?
It's going well, very well. Thank you for having me on the show. I've been excited to join you guys for Conversations on the Rocks. It's funny because I had you on our dating show like a couple years ago.
And that was hilarious.
It's like full circle. We had a Friendsgiving dating show in D.C., so it's awesome to be on your podcast now.
So we could talk about it on this show, you know, the marvelous brownies.
We had
the best taping. It was we were never gonna finish taping
ever
because we had these marvelous brownies.
Where did y'all get the brownies from?
This great woman in DC. She made them and they were excellent. Awesome.
You know, you guys partake. You guys are aficionados. I am not.
Right.
And so we were eating brownies and Thanksgiving food and just shooting the shit about dating and relationships and friends with benefits. And I was just supposed to be interviewing, but I was just stuck.
We were crying,
tears coming out our eyes.
Yes.
Yeah, it was a really fun show.
Not the dumb look, just like.
Yeah.
You were talking to me.
Bloopers. I'll send you some bloopers.
Oh, yeah.
It was ridiculous.
I definitely want to see it.
Yeah,
that's something to talk about.
He's definitely going to hold on to the bloopers.
Okay. Yeah.
Mr. Comedian. Make sure
that I get it for next week because somebody's not going to be here anymore.
Oh, yeah. That's right. So you could just edit that in.
We're going to miss her around here. What other better way to bring her in?
You know what? That might actually be pretty dope. Let's do that.
Of course, that would be dope.
All that was edited.
You thinking?
All that was edited out, but we have it still.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
It's good.
So, tell us about this dating app.
Yeah, so the dating app is called Carpe DM, just the letter D, the letter M. Uh-huh. And our tagline is Seize the Dating. And we know, as my sister said, we started off as a video-based dating app where we wanted singles to cut to the chase and video chat before they could text each other. And, of course, COVID hit and really the video game exploded, which only validated what we believe to be the case from the beginning, that video chatting and dating is the future. Mm-hmm. But then we really wanted to see who is our target audience and who do we really want to serve? Who are we passionate about serving as a company? What's our mission? And so we transitioned to a new type of dating app and combination of a matchmaking service. Mm-hmm. And it's still called Carpe Diem, but it's really geared towards singles seeking meaningful relationships with professional Black women. And so what's really different about Carpe Diem from any other app you're going to see out there, Tinder, Bumble, Hinge, anything out there, is that you're going to get a human matchmaker as well as matches that are curated by our very sophisticated algorithm. So you're going to get the best of both worlds. And everyone on our platform is vetted. Everyone on our platform is identity checked. So you don't have to worry about fake profiles, bots, being catfished, the women not looking like their pictures, the men not being who they say they are. We've done all the vetting for you, and then we also send you handpicked matches. So gone are the days of swiping and trying to sift through a sea of singles. We send you high quality, amazing matches, and then you still use our video first approach. You video chat with them all in the app, and then decide if you want to take your relationship to the next level.
Okay. Because, you know, I thought I was doing something when you were naming, like, all of that, like, tag and all that. I was like, yeah, damn. And then you said this. I was like, I ain't been on a good one yet. Like, this one, shit's fucked up now.
So her app, the initial app, it was one of the first ones, or the first one. To have you required to do a video chat before you could proceed.
I actually like that, like you said, and get away with all that text, because, like, somebody just hyped you up through their fingers right now. Mm-hmm. Got you all the way hyped up.
Put it on one of these Bill buttons. Bill Cosby on the other side. You know what I'm saying?
Don't do Bill like that, okay? He did his time. We're going to get to him later. Don't do Bill
like
that.
What's so crazy is that, you know, 1 in 10 dating profiles is just fake. Completely fake.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, you're getting people who are getting scammed. It's like a multi-million-dollar industry. People just scamming other people on dating apps for money. I don't even understand how Catfish is still a TV show.
Right.
It's still a TV show that plays new episodes every season. I mean, I don't understand how people are still getting catfished. So,
Somebody just wants to be on the show at this point.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying?
So it's definitely still a huge problem. So, you know, our goal is really to help, you know, people make those meaningful connections, but really build a meaningful community around uplifting Black women and giving back to the Black community. So we give a portion of every membership to a organization doing amazing work in the Black community as a donation piece. And so we really want to make sure that we're, you know, lifting Black women up, but we're also giving back to the community.
Okay. That's awesome. So where do you see Carpe Diem in the next 2 to 3 years? Like, what's the longevity of this?
That's a great question, sister.
I know,
look at
I'm
you
smart.
And your interview skills.
I'm smart. Okay.
Well, you know, we really want to build and grow that sense of community, right? So right now, we're launching in like the next month or so. So you can go to carpediemdating.com and drop in your phone number, and we will text you when it's time to apply. But in the next 2 to 3 years, we really want to build a holistic community. So we're starting that community building with this new series called Black Women Deserve, where we feature subject matter experts from across the dating landscape, from other matchmakers to psychologists to emotional intelligence coaches, because a lot of people don't realize that they're not even in the right mindset to date.
Right.
So we really want to actually get you in the position to date and be someone who's dateable, right, and understanding, like, what's your emotion, what's your attachment style, what's your love language,
right,
you know, what's the trauma you've had that's preventing you from actually making meaningful relationships.
Right.
So in the long run, we'll have expert forums all through our membership platform. We will have events, of course. We did events before the pandemic, and we'll be bringing back events with our partners. So we've partnered with The Wave DC, as well as The Gathering Spot.
Okay.
And so we just went to an event with The Wave over the weekend, Black Bar Crawl in DC, and it was amazing. The vibe was awesome. Shout out to The Wave. And we're looking at throwing one of our very first events at The Gathering Spot. If you haven't been to The Gathering Spot in DC, it's beautiful. The space is gorgeous. The food is amazing. It is such a vibe in there. So definitely check out our partners at The Gathering Spot as
that
well.
Sounds good. Well, actually, I want to ask a question, and this also goes for Letitia. You said something about this dating app, how hard it is for Black successful women to be dating. How hard is it? Because both of y'all, I mean, you got, like, so many grinds going on yourself, so I could just imagine time, and then you got your son, and you, I mean, you got more stuff that we got to talk about and stuff like that. So, I mean, how hard is it? And, like, do y'all feel like y'all are intimidating to Black men?
Yes. To some, yes.
Right.
It just depends. It depends on where they are in life and, you know, what they're aspiring to be, what type of woman they want in life.
Right.
So some men see a successful Black woman and see it as, you know, they take advantage of the situation or try to or feel like they can. But then you have others. You have other strong Black men that are there that are going to support you, make sure, you know, to help you out in the avenues. They understand that you only have 24 hours in a day, and, you know, they accommodate that, and they try to help you, you know, so they're spending time with you. So, yeah, but that from a – I'm not single, so, you know, I'm okay. But from a single standpoint, what do you say?
Well, you know, this – the app was born out of my personal frustration with dating, right? So I was using the Tinders and all these other apps to date in DC and finding it to be so exhausting and unfruitful, right? Mm-hmm. It was just such a waste of time. And so I really felt like I could make something better than what I'm currently using. And so, but in this journey to creating something that's amazing for Black women, I've talked to probably hundreds of Black women and through focus groups and just through my personal network, and you hear echoes of the same problems. Mm-hmm. Black women are hyper-sexualized, they are fetishized, they are they receive more racist and racist tone messages on apps. They're the least attractive on dating apps, so they receive the least amount of attention on dating apps. And so when you think about it, there's a lot of things that undergird that, you know. Most dating apps are created by white people, right? So those algorithms and everything, they all kind of play into that. As someone building algorithms, I understand that there's a lot of bias that can go into those things. Yeah. And so, you know, I think that we just need, but on the other hand, Black women are dope, right? Like we are where like a lot of culture, a lot of style, a lot of, you know, everything comes from. And so I just felt like we needed a space where people could say, this is where I find the most amazing Black women. Mm-hmm. If I'm a person of quality looking to date them, and we wanted to create that space. And so that's what we're doing.
So in 3 years, you guys are going to be like the go-to, you know, just like, you know, the other avenues, the Christian, all of those dating apps, they all have their go-to.
I'm about to buy some stock now.
Go ahead. Exactly.
That is very smart to do. Honestly, invest, you know.
Yeah, honestly.
Yep. Definitely.
That's 100% right. Just like, you know, there's JDate and Christian Mingle, and there's a dating app for everybody. Dating app for women who like bald men, you know, dating app for tall guys and short women and tall women. And, you know, there's so many niche dating apps, but why? Why, when I looked to find something for Black women, did I not find anything?
Our
demographic is huge. We have buying power, you know. We're the most educated group in the country. We're starting businesses faster than any other group in the country, you know. So it's one of those things that, like, why are we not being catered to? But the thing is that the lack of a source for us actually creates opportunity in the market, right? Because there's no one catering to us, right? Definitely. So we're able to, for us, by us, come in and fill this gap, and also make sure that the dollars that are spent with our company stay circulating in the Black community, right? Because I've looked up a lot of the dating apps that are niche, that are for Black people. Those dating apps are made by Chinese companies, by Chinese people, right? And they just see a niche in the market, and they fill it with an app. And we don't even know who's making those apps or how that money's being spent. So,
you know, I read an article today, and the gentleman, he ended the article saying, like, what is the point of me making money in my community if I'm not giving it back? So that equates to stealing. You know, that is so powerful. Like, that stuck with me all day today. And I like, commend you guys for really wanting to, grow the community. So that's awesome.
Again, it's Black. Y'all see, this is Black.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying?
What about the dating, the show? They had a...
y'all need to bring that back. So what's going on with that?
That was hilarious. It was really, really good.
Let's talk about it.
We actually won Invention of the Year. Technically, we were voted Invention of the Year in 2024. Our virtual dating show, Lovecast, which was based on the concept of Carpe Diem. And so in 2 weeks, my team put together Lovecast, and that was a virtual dating show where we paired singles, strangers, for virtual video dates. We recorded them, and then we played them live on YouTube, and then we had special guests come on and interview those singles. And, you know, we did trailer videos for Lovecast. We tried to kind of shop it around a little bit to see if somebody would pick it up so we could get some more sponsors. Because the thing about it is that, you know, this is like a 5-person team putting on together a production that's like a really high quality production with no funding. Right. And so it was one, such a passion, and it was such a great time, and it's so needed at the height of COVID, but it's so much work to do, and it requires so many resources to kind of keep that up, to keep talent coming in, to keep, you know, that show going steadily. And so we still own it, you know, and so hopefully in the future we'll have opportunity to do some live love cast, you know, with the Carpe Diem members, and get people involved that way. But yeah, I don't know if that was a flash in time or we'll be able to bring that back.
The universe always aligns, and you may be able to just bring that back quicker than you think.
Listen to Big Sis over there. You know what I'm saying? Listen to Big. But honestly, I just like to hear, like, the way you just said that, and just to describe how you work so hard to get this together. You know what I'm saying? Like, I always like to try to just let everybody know, like, you can do this. You know what I'm saying? Especially, you have a passion for it and you take your time with it. That's another thing, too, that I like to see. I don't ever like to see somebody just do it just because of the money, but like to see that passion and that determination behind it. And this is why this company is going to go like this instead of up here for a minute and done. You know what I'm saying? So I really commend you on that, and hard working. And you look good doing it, too.
Thank you. Trying. But yeah, I completely agree with you. And honestly, throughout my startup journey in the DMV area, one thing I can say is there's no shortage of amazing, amazing, amazing founders in the DMV. Black founders doing amazing work, really killing it, and charting a new pathway for entrepreneurs. And so I'm glad to be a part of that. And I agree with you. It just takes time, right? Like, you know, I was reading this quote and it was talking about manifesting your vision, right? And how your vision in your mind comes so quickly and so clearly, right? Like, so, you know, I can see Carpe Diem. I can see the first Carpe Diem wedding. I can see the first Carpe Diem baby. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can see the first Carpe Diem, like, student graduating from college, from a scholarship, right? But to bring all that to fruition takes two or three times longer than it, you know, than it is to envision it. So anyone that's out there, you know, building something, just realize, like, the manifestation of your vision takes longer, and, you know, just keep at it. Keep the hard work going.
Yeah, it really is the truth. Like, whenever you're, like, going, and you feel like you're going to quit, there's always a breakthrough right then and there. So, like, that's a definite blessing.
Real. I mean, yeah, because I see it between the both of y'all, man, like, like I said, so yeah, keep doing that. And I don't want everybody to hear that. You know what I'm saying? Again, a black woman told you this.
So what are some jewels that you can give to everybody as far as, not if they want to go down your specific avenue, but if they want to get into something, like, what are the steps as far as, like, preparing yourself mentally, writing things down, really, you know, doing the back end of the business and making sure that that is secure?
Yeah, that's, you know, what they say, measure twice, cut once.
Okay.
Right? And so similar when it comes to business, you know, you can have a great idea, and ideas are important, but they are not as important as execution, right? And as important as the work behind bringing those ideas to life. And so whether or not that is taking the time to write your business plan, whether or not that's taking the time to sketch something out, to getting with a friend that can help you, you know, design what it is that you want to create. I think that when you start putting your intention into the universe in a positive way, and you start sharing it with people who are like-minded, similarly minded as you, then the resources you need start to appear, right? But you have to be working in earnest towards what it is that you want to accomplish. You can't be half-assing it, right? And so when you're really working and grinding and out there, and people see how passionate you are and how relentless you are, they want to be a part of your success story, and they want to help you. So I always tell people, I've had conversations with people who want to, you know, be mentored, or, you know, just want words of advice, and I always say the first thing you got to do is start. Right? So you can't come to the table with nothing on your plate. So whether or not that is your business plan, a sketch of your idea, some type of design, there's always something that you're capable of doing with the resources that you have, whether or not that's going online and learning some tutorials on YouTube, learning how to use Adobe, whatever it is, like, you have the ability to take the first step. And then once you start taking those steps, people will walk with you, right? Yeah. So.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. I also want to say, as far as, like you said, even working with a team, I guess, like, talk about egos, you know what I'm saying? Honestly, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, We got Letitia on now, you know what I'm saying?
She has a big ego and a big head.
And I know it. I know it because I that's why I always be throwing little jokes at her. You can see it in the text message. She be like, no, you're an ass. Like, you're stupid. You get on my nerves. Why do you? Yeah, I know. But it's all out of love. But, I mean, even as, like, I still know, you know what I'm saying, when she's here and we have these meetings, I know, like, me and Ice, we already know. So, as a team and as a business, How do y'all set? What's the key to separating all of that? The egos,
right? And it's something definitely not innate. It's learned, right? Because you know, when I started my company, I was by myself. I was a solo founder. But then over time, I ended up, partnering with my best friend from law school. And so now I'm founder and she's co-founder, okay. Right? And it does require ego, right? But you have to realize that if you have a big, big vision, it's going to take a lot of support to achieve it, right?
Humility.
And so you cannot accomplish what you have in your mind, if it's of anything of scale, right? By yourself. And so it really requires you to give space for other people to come in and help you. And that also means giving recognition where recognition is due, however that is, right? Like, you have to talk to that person and understand what type of recognition it is that they're looking for and be okay with it, right? So whether or not that's sharing a limelight, whether or not that's sharing, you know, speaking or, you know, making sure the person feels involved in meetings and decision making, you know, all these things can be worked out. Whether or not, I mean, me and my co-founder, we just took a 14-day trip to Jamaica together and shared a room and just, we worked remotely while we tried to relax, right? And it was a great bonding experience. We went and we climbed a waterfall and did a trust fall in the waterfall. It was just one of those things that's like, it's so necessary because it's important to know that when I'm not in the room, this person has my back, right? And you cannot build that type of trust if you're not reciprocating, that type of care, not just for the person as a professional, but for the person, as an individual.
And
so
let's be real, like, no one person has done it on their own. Anybody that says, I got it out the mud and I ain't need nobody, that's a lie. There's no way. Like, whenever I first started, I lean on all of my friends and family for the free. Like, I mean, how else would I be able to get to the next step where, okay, now I'm paying my friends and family and, you know, they're benefiting and so am I.
But it's not even fun.
It's not.
So I mean, it's like, do you want all the recognition, but you literally,
you won't be half-assed with it by yourself,
right?
Anyway.
And that's just not that's not what it's about. That's not even what life is all about, right? There's plenty of recognition to go around for everyone, and there's plenty of appreciation. And if you're building your team right, there's gonna be plenty of money. So it really is just
about. We all thinking alike. You know what I'm saying? I also wanted to say, I'm about to quit my job and come work for you because, like, you're like the best boss. Like you said, I took a trip. I take my time to see what type of recognition you want, not what I'm going to give you. Because, like, sometimes I just need you to bring me, like, a cup of coffee. I'll be good with
but
it.
But if
know
you
what
think
saying?
About it,
like,
I'm a relationship expert, right? So I'm a matchmaker, right? And so. Above all of that, I really consider myself to be someone that's passionate about connecting people, period. Right? So that doesn't have to be for a romantic relationship. It could be platonically, it could be for business or for whatever. And so if you're a real people person, like understanding how to read people is important, and understanding that a lot of those tenets about falling in love and building a meaningful relationship can be applied to all the relationships in your life. So I need to I need to know your love language and your recognition language, right? As much as I need to know my significant other's love language and how he feels most appreciated, right? So, I mean, it's just, if you're just applying these things across all of your relationships, and you can see how all of them can be successful.
Are you married?
I'm single. Single life. But I do have a very special friend. Hey, shout out to my friend.
Shout out to the friend.
Hey, man, it's always good. We all got friends, right? Holler at me after the show. Look here.
Wow, boy, this guy is crazy.
I like that. You know what I'm saying? I hope a lot of bosses are listening to that because, like, it does... you really don't know how that person that works with you and works, you know what I'm saying, your coworker or whatever like that, how, like you said, just a little thing, honestly, you know what I'm saying, just saying thank you, like, hey, you did a good job, like, this and that, like, they don't really understand, so just giving me a paycheck and you want to holler at me and think, just because you throwing me money, you know what I'm saying, not going for it.
But it's also, like, treat others how you want to be treated.
That's what I'm saying.
And I'm not saying that to say that I'm perfect, right, because I definitely make, I'm pretty close to it, but it's also about being teachable, right, and giving people the space to tell you about yourself in the most respectful way, right?
Very much.
So, and also having people that are around you that you know when they do tell you about yourself that it's coming from love, right? It's not coming from their ego or it's not coming from their jealousy or envy or desire to one-up you, right? So it's just about them also wanting to elevate you. And so I think that if you're always just, you know, coming from a place that's genuine, real, and about everybody elevating together, then you're going to win, right? Because to me, I'm like, there's so much money out here to be made. There's so much happiness to be shared. And there's no end to it. I think a lot of people have this mentality that if she win, then I can't win, right? If he win, then I'm going to lose. And that's just, that's not it.
Yeah. Speaking of money, let's talk about how you raised the funds in order to start this. What were the levels that you, or the hurdles that you had to climb in order to do this? Did you have dinner parties and invite people, you know, of stature that could actually, you know, put you in a better position? Did you do investors? Like, what type of things did you do?
Yeah, so, you know, when I started, I spent weeks and weeks in a coffee shop near my apartment writing a business plan and researching, like, how do I start a business like the business I wanted to start, right? So one thing I will tell you is that Google ain't no joke. So if you don't know where to start, start with Google. Just like type in whatever you need and something will pop up. No one's having original thoughts for real when it comes to how to start a business, right? Someone has made the video on it. They've made a template that you can use. So there's always no excuse to not get started. But for me, it was really important because I didn't want to use all my money to finance the business. And I also thought, if I can't convince other people to give me money, then maybe it's not that great of an idea. Right. So it was almost like a litmus test for me to say, okay, if I can convince other people that this is a good idea and they'll invest, then it's also a green light for me to know I should keep going forward and putting all my time and energy into this. Because while I'm passionate, I'm also pragmatic, right? and so I started with just my friends and my family. I knew I was going to need, you know, $100,000 or something like that. And so I was like, how do you raise money from friends and family? Did all this research, put together a pitch deck, and I called a meeting at my apartment, and some friends came, and they asked me a bunch of questions I did not know the answers to, and I was floundering. I went back for a week, and I did all this research and answered all those questions, and then I had a meeting at my parents' house, and all my friends were invited. My parents invited some of their friends, and I had the pitch deck on a big TV in their living room, and my sister catered the food, and one of my other best friends made all these like really beautiful cupcakes, and I had like little business cards from UPS or USPS that I like printed out, and you know, I just made it look like a presentation, right? And so, and I like just talked about the idea. People asked me questions, and by the end of that, I think I had raised over $100,000. From people in that room and from friends, from having dinners that that happened after that, you know, following up with people and having little dinners and just talking to people and telling them about the idea. And even now, you know, we're raising funds again, another round, and we're going through more institutional investors. So right now we're raising funds with angel investors. And it's the same thing, right? It's always the same thing. Having your pitch deck, having your pitch, knowing what your company is about, knowing all your metrics and, you know, where you plan to go, what are you going to do with these investors' money, how are you going to make them money back in return, is really the key there. And you know, asking them to cut a check, right? And believe in you. And so a lot of people start with their friends and their family. And depending on how much money you're looking to raise, it's a really great place to start. And then also putting in your own capital, right? People want to see that you're in, right? Not just with your time and energy, but also with your money. And so I did that as well.
Damn, that is like,
awesome.
You were like,
that was a great blueprint.
Fucking amazing right now. Like, like, I'm sitting over here like, damn, like, and I know when Tisha all like that, you never told me you had a little sister. Like, what the fuck going on here? I made a couple of bad decisions and I could have been okay. Like, golly. You know
She's out running the world. Like, she left. She went to college and just took off. So,
what college you go to?
I went to the University of Virginia for undergrad.
Okay, damn.
And then what did you do? Go ahead, state your
credentials. Yeah, I mean, talk your shit, baby girl. Yeah. Talk your shit.
I went to the University of Virginia for undergrad, and then I went to Howard University School of Law for law school, HU. And I am an attorney, and I worked in an attorney position for 6 years before I left that job to work on this company full time.
So let's get into that. Mm-hmm. You being the attorney. Mm-hmm. How hard is the bar really? Cause like you said, Google got everything.
Well, Google does not have that. We're gonna need to, you know, if anything, Kim Kardashian is a testament to it. It's not that easy to pass the bar, even if you have money. I mean, I think the beauty about law school and why you go is not because they tell you what to think; they teach you how to think.
Okay.
Right, and so a lot of us trained in society, the way that we're educated, we're taught what to think, mm-hmm. right? And so law school really is a way to strip you down and think and tell you how to think through problems in a way to get what you want, right? Because if you think about most cases mm-hmm. that are, you know, before the Supreme Court or whatever, those cases are before the Supreme Court or before courts because there's no clear right or wrong answer. If there was a clear right or wrong answer, the lower court or somebody else would have already ruled, and it never goes up the chain, right? Mm-hmm. And so it really is about arguing your case and being creative and you know, understanding how to think in a way that you can convince other people to believe in what you believe. And so that's the beauty of law school, but it's also the beauty of how I understood or internalized how to become an entrepreneur, right? Because they don't teach you how to think. They don't teach you what to think. They teach you how to think. And so for me, every question I have is a problem, right? And law school teaches you how to solve those problems, right? And so there's always an answer, whether or not that's I need research, I need someone to help me, I need to talk to someone, I need a consultation, I need, you know, a plug, I need, you know, whatever it is, like you just figuring out, like, all, and that's all business is, right? It's just one problem after another. And how well you're able to solve them as they come at you.
So what's happening, attorney? Like, so you was a business, like, mostly for just, like, big corporates and stuff like that?
No. Actually, I worked for the D.C. government, and I was a labor and utility regulator. So I was at the cross-section of, like, utility, environmental, and administrative law. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nothing to do with what I do now, so.
Right. Okay. So, I've always wanted to ask, you know, as far as a lawyer, have you ever had to, like, represent somebody you didn't, like, basically you just felt like this wasn't, they was wrong, like, they was probably guilty? Did you ever have to represent?
So, I'm not a criminal, I never have been a criminal attorney, but I have had to represent positions that I didn't agree with,
right,
because it was the position of my superiors or who I was working for, and this was like the line I was told to, you know, that we were arguing.
Right.
And so, you know, attorneys are, you know, our job is to win the case, is to argue, right? And there's a challenge in doing that, but nothing that really ever tested me morally where I was like, I have to represent a sex offender. No, like, you know, just, I think that this argument would have been better this way, but, you know, this is the way we're going.
How challenging is it to be in that market and be a Black person and a Black woman mm-hmm. trying to move up the ladder? Like, what are the difficulties in that?
So I was really lucky because I worked in DC government, and so DC government is Black, y'all. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, Black up in there. And so it was cool because I never really felt like my race was an issue. For me, I thought the real issue was my age.
Mm-hmm.
So, and sometimes me being a woman, right? And so being younger and also being very, like, I'm a Taurus, you know, being very, like, assured about who I am and, like, what I'm arguing and stuff, and also taking on a lot more responsibility than my age and my, you know, would dictate for the position that I was in. I think that, you know, sometimes people want to hold you back because they think, oh, I had to wait till I was this age to get this. So I want you to wait to this age. And I was not having that, you know? So that was probably my biggest thing. But, you know, it's, you know, like Nikki said, all my exes want me back. all my old jobs want me back.
She couldn't wait to throw that line in there. Look at it. She said, oh, this is the perfect time, girl. Go for it. Go for it. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Do it.
That is hilarious. But that's good to know. So are you ever going to get back into, like, law, full-time, part-time?
And maybe do a different practice?
Well, you know, I feel like I use my law degree every day, right? I mean, our app is patented. You know, I file our trademarks. I handle human resources issues. I write all of our contracts. You know, I'm negotiating on a daily basis and using my law degree. You know, I'm looking at term sheets for investments and talking to investors. And so I definitely feel like I still use my law degree all the time. But as far as formally, probably one day, maybe, I don't know. I'm hoping that one day, you know, Carpe Diem will be huge. Maybe, you know, it'll sell. Maybe it'll, you know, just grow an IPO or something, and maybe I'll be able to spend my time as an investor investing in other deals more so than like being an attorney. But you know, if that doesn't work out, then the good thing about being an attorney is that you're an attorney, right? So whether or not I want to write contracts for people to make extra money, I can hang my own shingle and start my own law firm in under a day by purchasing a website. You know, like, it's just, it's a skill set that never really leaves you, and it always is a way for you to make money. So the good thing is I don't fear, you know, not having money.
Now, once you pass the bar, do you have to, like, recertify every such and such years?
Mm-hmm. So it depends on what jurisdiction you're in. So I'm barred in D.C. and Maryland. I used to have a corporate counsel license in Virginia. And so different jurisdictions make you take, like, we call them CLEs. So they're continuing legal education credits or courses. And so every year, depending on what jurisdiction is, you have to take a certain amount of these courses in order to maintain your license. And so I did have to do those for Virginia, but luckily for Maryland and D.C., they don't have required courses every year, but you do have access to those courses if you want to go online and that kind of stuff. So no need to recertify for where I'm currently barred.
Cool. Loaf,
you know I got some more stuff.
He said I gotta get it right for it. You know the angle.
Y'all know I was gonna do this right here. You know what, I'm lying. I really didn't. I just wanted to okay.
This is about to be funny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How terrible was she?
Oh, no.
Oh, growing up? Mm-hmm. She was the worst. You know what was so crazy about my sister? She did not want me around ever. She never wanted me around. She would never let me hang out with her. She would always be mad if I had to tag along with her.
What?
Say I'm lying.
No, I was the big sister.
Oh, God.
No.
Oh, God. That's no true. Cap.
I was the big sister. So
she did not like me around.
But why couldn't she go? Why couldn't... What the hell was you doing?
She was in trouble for always. Always in trouble. Always.
That's why I wanted you on this goddamn show. I said, hell yeah. I said, Ice, let's put on it.
I said my sister was always a semester on, a semester off. You know what that means? A semester on punishment, a semester off punishment.
Welcome to the club, man.
Yeah.
That was me. Wait till my mama come in. She got so many stuff. Hey.
And I didn't even have a reason not to, like, do my homework.
She just didn't
want to
try.
I just did. Yeah,
I used to have teachers be like, why don't you study with your sister? And I'm like, she don't want to study with me.
And look at you now.
She's still making it. Yeah.
Yeah. I got it the hard way. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, there are people have different.
That's what big sister was here for. Look how your little sister just glided all through that motherfucker.
Right. She was like, yeah, I'm not going to do that. And
she
I'm not going to do that.
Sure not going
to
do that.
You know, some people, Tish is definitely a trial by error. Like, you know, she needs to do it. To know that it's not for her. I'm not like that. I'm looking at other people mess up and I'm like, nah. Yeah. I'm gonna go this other route. You know, she's like, I bet I can still make that work though.
Yeah.
And sometimes like she does. Spirit. Sometimes she does, but
that's why she the first lady of this
there
show.
You go.
Cause yeah, that I like that.
Damn.
You,
you
know what?
Right,
I'm like, yeah, you just did that. Okay, one more other question.
Mm-hmm.
A good embarrassing story. I just need one. I just need one.
Oh, she already know what I'm about to say.
Man, it better not be Hawaii.
Yeah, you already know it's about to be Hawaii.
Oh, yeah. I definitely want to hear about Hawaii.
So, Tisha was definitely on her semester off, right? So, she was not supposed to be outside.
Uh-huh.
And we lived in Hawaii at the time, right? And so, my mom, obviously, she was in the military, did not play, okay? So, Tisha's supposed to be in the house. She's out ripping and running the streets. So I'm in front of the TV watching cartoons because I was a good child. Right. And my mom pull up to the house, and she's like, and my mom would just creep. Sometimes she would just roll up. You would never know. You just had to be on your P's and Q's because you just never knew. And so she roll up in the house. She's like, where's Letitia? I was like, I don't know where she is. And she's like, you know where she is. I'm like, I don't know where she is. My mom, you know, she got her whole outfit on. Man, she takes her military belt off, and she's walking down the street in her combat boots and her hat. And we turn the corner, ooh, and Tisha outside. She getting picked up by a boy and put into a trash can.
Oh,
right?
Shit. So oh, Tisha, shit.
Tisha just outside. She's outside, y'all, like, having a good old time. And my mom, enjoying she saw life. My mom. If you guys would have saw the life drain out her eyes when she saw my mom turn the corner. And my mom was like, don't run.
And then she snapped the belt.
She snapped the belt.
Oh, that's gangster right
there. She snapped the belt. And you know what Tisha did?
She ran.
Yo.
I'm already shocked.
Tisha took off. I was like, oh my god,
she's a runner, she's like, a track star.
And like, I was like, there's nowhere for you to go. Like,
nowhere,
there's no,
because you gotta go,
you gotta go home,
and you're on an island.
Yeah.
Silly.
So
what you
gonna
do?
Where you
swim
going?
Back to the United.
Look. So all I know is she got caught.
Oh, yep. That was that. Oh,
the neighbors the next
wow.
day was like, was everything okay? We could hear her outside. I
and
was
see,
like,
this when your mama like, come out and be like, mind your goddamn business, mind your business.
Yep.
Yeah! Wow!
Yeah, that definitely.
I like that.
That
hey,
happened.
That's
that.
The,
happened.
I think we've all been through that because I think.
Oh,
got
I
caught.
Have one more story.
Oh, I love it. Go ahead.
I want to just tell this story because I want to exonerate myself from any association with this. But when we was in high school, right?
This girl.
When we was in high school. You didn't, what? So my stepdad has a really nice Corvette, right? Mm-hmm. So it stays parked in the garage. My sister decides that it's her Corvette and she's going to start driving it on the regular, like on the daily. Mm-hmm. So I'm walking to the bus stop most days just seeing her drive by in the Corvette. Ain't never asked me if I want to ride, right?
I started never. Driving because she was at school stuck and I got the keys.
Baloney.
And I went to go pick her
can,
up.
Can you let her talk? Can you let her talk,
the
please? Can you let her
you
talk?
Tell.
Go ahead. Go ahead, baby girl. Go ahead and
tell
your story.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
So one day I was running late for school. I missed the bus. And so she was like, get in the car. I was like, no. And she was like, get in the car. So I got in the car. That was my mistake, right? Because then I was guilty by association ever since,
already.
Right? We pull up to the car. We pull up to school. You know, this is high school. She's pulling up in a Corvette, right?
What the hell?
I went to Hilton. Yeah.
What?
So she pulled up in the Corvette, and everybody's like, oh my gosh, it's so nice. But the problem is, Letitia didn't know how to put gas in the Corvette.
But I got smart.
So
you weren't smart this day.
So
no,
so
did.
She didn't know how to refill the tank. So my stepdad starts to notice that the tank is going down. And so he's telling my mom, I think Letitia, somebody's driving the Corvette. And my mom was like,
No.
But
you skipped over the
what
fact
happened?
That. I didn't know how to open the gas tank or where it was. So we drove to the gas station and I called my mom and I was like, hey, my friend out here, he has this Corvette and like they're trying to figure out how to open the gas tank or something.
And you
and
clued
my mom
shit.
Told me how to
did y'all hear
look,
this? You're going dead. Wait
look,
till you get
she
home.
Clued, she clued my
no,
mom.
No, she didn't.
She
still
know.
Didn't know.
She still didn't get it.
Mr. Benjamin called.
Got on.
Her, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so that's how she got
to
caught.
Mr. Benjamin.
Yeah.
Damn.
I was grounded for another semester.
Yeah.
As you should.
That, yeah.
As
right.
you should.
So, but she lived her life, y'all know. She was, yeah. she was.
Well,
out
at least
there.
You got to see it through her eyes.
I did. That's
all you did.
Yep.
Yeah.
Flashes of
hey,
light.
You know what is so funny? You and my sister, my biological sister, would be perfect. Like, that's my sister was the one that sat in the room, read her books.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when mom okay. came home, Alicia. And my mom used to get my sister with this all the time. If you don't tell me where your brother is, you're not going to Disney World. Let me tell you something. My mom used this like for like a long time. I
did
had to tell
ever
my sister.
Go to Disney World?
We never been.
Wait,
we never been.
But she's not a saint. She's had the police bring her home before.
Oh, well, I didn't even hear about
that's
that.
Yeah, she had.
Oh, we definitely
police.
Got
that. Was
yeah,
another,
home
that was a
before.
Case of
she
false
was at a
identity.
House party, and the people that lived there were not even there. They were out of town.
It was not my house
vacation.
Party. It was a friend of mine's party,
she went.
And I didn't know that we
guilty
weren't
guilty by association.
See again. You see how it doesn't start with me? I just get the residual. I just get hit. You know, innocent bystander.
So
that's
what happened.
What happened
at this party? How did this end?
So what happened was.
Oh, wee!
It was Thanksgiving, right? And a friend of mine, her family went out of town. She gave our other friend the keys to her house. So we were all at her house hanging out, right? So the guys that were at the house were being dumb. They were outside in the field making a lot of noise. So the neighbors called the police. The police show up and we're there. And then they call the owners, and the owner's like, just make sure everything is there, that nothing's stolen, and then tell them all to go home. But I didn't have a ride home because my friend wasn't there anymore. So we had to ride home in the police car. And the worst part is that it was Thanksgiving, so all my family were out on the porch, like in the grass. My mom had her bonnet on, like in a robe, just waiting for me to pull up to the house.
Oh, so yeah.
That was the most, that was the worst part of it.
Baby, she's out there. Come on, let's go get her.
And I'm the good one, so everybody's just so concerned and worried. I'm like, it's okay, y'all. It's just misunderstanding.
I was cracking up. I'm like, about time.
Best friend, but, nobody.
So what are your handles? What, before we get into close out.
So please sign up for Carpe Diem at www.carpediemdating.com. You can follow us on all social media channels. We are very active on IG at Carpe Diem Dating. You can follow me on IG at Carpe Diem Boss. Those are the handles.
Okay.
Yeah, I like it. That's a
Carpe
lot.
DM. Just and remember that, the letter D, the letter M.
What are the events that you have coming up soon?
Yeah, so our launch event is exclusivo. So invitations will be going out, and
That sounds fancy. I wish I'd get one of these motherfuckers too.
You might get one, but it's not open to the public. Yeah. But our launch event. And then we're doing a lot of things with our partners, The Wave, in DC. So if you follow us on social, we'll definitely be posting anything and everything that's coming up with the launch and with any events that we have planned.
Okay, and the last question is, how do you feel about Bill Cosby coming home?
Right.
You know, it was the prosecutor's fault. Blame the prosecutor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So,
they
messed
this one
up.
And so, that's our job. Figure out a way. So one said immunity, and another one then prosecuted him for it. Hey, what can we do?
So does he now have a lawsuit against them?
Yes, he does. He's got a lawsuit.
Probably because he just spent 3 years in jail. Yeah. So I would think so.
And his health deteriorated while he was in there. Yeah,
he was probably visited upon by many a man.
But I mean, how do you feel about him just being home all together? Like, how do you feel about him being home all together, though?
I have no feeling one way or the other. I definitely believe trust women. You know, what they say is likely the truth. white women, not so much. But, you know, women in general. But, you know, so I definitely, you know, I feel very sorry for the victims if, you know, this was a miscarriage of justice on the part of him getting out. But then I also understand the way that the law works. And there are a lot of people in jail on technicalities that should not be there. And that is not putting it on to him. But, you know, the legal system works a certain way for a certain reason. Mm-hmm. And so for every person that's out that shouldn't be out, there's 15 to 20 of them that are shouldn't be in.
Right,
so.
Right. But, you know, I wanted to ask you, because you are like a relationship specialist. Mm-hmm. I would like to ask you, like, well, I guess that's more like therapist, like, but I mean, just for these women to take that long to actually come out about it, like, that was the only thing that really kind of, like, bothered me all about that whole story. You know what I'm saying? Not saying that I agree with anything that he did as far as, like, raping women, you know, but, like, to be that long and then, like, all of y'all came out and said all that, like.
Yeah, I understand trauma, right? So, people, when they see cues from society about how they will be treated if they come out, right? Mm-hmm. And so the Me Too movement was really, you know, he was really the start of that. And before that, like, who was going to believe them, right? You know? And so, and how did they know that they weren't alone, right? And so it wasn't until there was one, you know, brave person to come forward that other people realized, okay, I can come forward and tell my story. Otherwise, you really think that it's you against the world that loves him, that admires him, adores him, is going to believe him. His money, his power, you know, his lawyers, right? The police who sometimes don't do their job. And so I can see the cards kind of, and not just that, you being thrown into the public, right? Mm-hmm. People are relentless, right? And so some people might think, there's no, why re-traumatize myself if in the end I'm not going to get justice for myself anyway. And so I understand why people don't come forward. I definitely feel like I'm glad that people are feeling more safe, you know, and that they can come forward and try to get justice. But, you know, to me, there should be no statute of limitations on rape. When I, you know, if you're ready to come forward and somebody's done that to you, then then we should be ready to hear it.
No, I just, you know, just wanted to ask because, like I said, I mean, it wasn't a long time. That was the only thing I had really a problem with it. And then it just seemed like, I don't know, like, I guess you, like you said, I guess if we've never really been through that, you know, how can you understand? So I shouldn't have looked at it like that, but it just threw me off.
Like, but I think a lot of people are inclined to think that,
and a
like,
lot
well,
of people
why?
Ask that same yeah, question.
But then a lot of people haven't been raped, right? Or physically assaulted, right, exactly. Or, you know,
right,
so you can right. always think, well, I would have come
gotta
forward.
That's got to be embarrassing, though, right?
Yeah.
Now somebody has to know the brittle
degrading.
Truth. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's got to be bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you think that you know what you would do in a situation, but you don't know what you would do until
right.
it happens to you.
This
so.
Is very true. This is very true. This is very true.
Well, you've been an excellent guest.
Thanks. You guys have been an amazing host. Thank you so much for having me.
We'll have to bring you back on. Maybe we could squeeze you in as a pop-up guest on our closeout show. But if not, then definitely.
That would be amazing. I'd love to come back.
I would love to have you back.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Next time I come back, I'll bring swag. I'll bring some Carpe Diem swag for the listeners.
We're waiting.
You already got the swag. Okay. What you need more swag for?
That's true.
Tisha be tripping. She be in here tripping. She be tripping. I'm trying to work with her, baby.
Right.
Honestly.
Right.
You know, because she don't know. She this close. My mama still want to be on the podcast. My mama was this close to getting a job and shit. If she didn't have to travel so far, she'd have been. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, she was. Yeah. Like, she got to mind her P's and Q's, right? Because she could be.
Does.
She's not
she
irreplaceable.
And let her know, this ain't little sister, big sister, no more, shawty. Okay?
Yeah, right.
Okay?
Oh, I ain't worried about her. She know her place.
Well, we're not going to do to our guests, because we don't do that on Conversation on the Rocks. Nobody's ignorant. We're not rude like that.
Letitia. At all. This is
at
good.
All.
You guys have been very hospitable. I really thank you for having me
no,
on.
No, this was fun.
Yeah.
This is definitely fun.
Yes.
But we definitely want to have you come back. And salute to all your accomplishments that you got going on, everything that you are doing. And you're a young black woman. Hey, man, salute you. Put somebody else on with that game like you're doing right now. Continue to do that. Continue to shine. And, yeah, however you and your friend work out, you know what I'm saying? Just holler at me.
Just hit me one time. Just to let you know, there's no shortage of amazing, amazing black women. So, you know, even if I can't help you out, I definitely can help you out.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So
I'm not even going to be mad at that.
Yeah.
And right now, I got one of my Las Vegas smoking aces that I'll give to all the guests that come out here to the show. Yes. And me and Letitia are going to sign it. Ice is out. He's on the plane coming back.
Yes,
everything like that.
Ice.
Shout out to Ice. He's been on vacation. Somebody else in him ought to go on vacation.
About to go.
And ain't bringing no damn plates. But look, not even mad at that.
You got to go with Los tonight.
You know what I do? Y'all just bringing it up.
Take us out.
Just thinking like this, like, y'all know how I act right now. Like, could you imagine me just being a bad child? I know nobody can, so I'm not even going to ask that question. Right. So we're going to keep it moving.
Yeah, we can.
Labeled as a troublemaker. One day, I went to school, like first, second period, probably got in trouble. This middle school down in Godwin. By second period, I go to my third period class before lunch. I happen to walk in there. Nobody's in there just yet. I get there first because I'm trying to beat this girl there. You know what I'm saying? I had to sit next to her and stuff like that. I was trying to get that seat. As I go in there to go get that seat, there's somebody already sitting in there, and it's my mother. she had got a call about something I did in second period. I cannot remember. She got a call. So she was like, I was late for class. That's what it was. Ooh. They called. He said he wasn't even here. She said, so I'm just here to make sure you get to all your classes. I was like, so you just going to stay like like just this class, right? Like, we can do this? Mom said, nope. I'm going to be with you all day. I was like, Mom, like, after this, it's lunch, and we switch, like, I got to go. This can't be cool, right? Didn't give a fuck. You know what I'm saying? She was already off. I probably already cost her a day at work, so this is how she was going to spend the day. Went to lunch. Very embarrassing. Very embarrassing. Like, nobody wanted to sit next to that guy, right? Nobody. You know, then you got your ignorant ass niggas that walk past and be like, hey, Miss Holman, how you doing? Get the fuck on. So now I'm mad about lunch, and you know, in middle school, all the big classes is changing in the hallway during lunch. You know what I'm saying? Girls is like, who is that? Like, you know what I'm saying? Stop playing. So I told my mom I'm about to go to the bathroom. She said, all right, I'll be waiting for you in class. I said, I bet the fuck I don't. Went to my locker, got my books and everything, right? I'm about to get the fuck up out of here. You know what I'm saying? Soon as I'm walking out the front door, the principal said, Los, Carlos, where are you going? I was in the auditorium right there in Godwin. If you ever been to Godwin, the auditorium is right there by the front doors. She heard him call my name. She comes out. She said, where are you going? I said, Mom, I was going to go get my books and shit. And this stupid motherfucker right here stopping me. I'm trying to find you. Make sure you okay. She said, get it. I said, damn. And she was with me all day long. And I still got to ride the bus on while she took the car. Ain't that about
something? Hey.
What did we learn?
What we learned is you might want to take your ass to class, okay?
Because it's time.
On time. Yeah. On time. And that's just a little get close with Lowe's, man.
All right. And we're going to close out the show. Y'all have a great evening. See you back next Monday, 8 p.m. You know what it is. We're going to have Jeff. We're going to have Lowe's. We're going to have Doe on the show. So that'll be a dope one.
Yeah, I didn't know.